William Morrow and Harper Audio present Death on the Nile, an Hercule Poirot mystery by Agatha Christie. Performed by Kenneth Branagh. To Sybil Burnett, who also loves wandering about the world. Author's Foreword. Death on the Nile was written after coming back from a winter in Egypt. When I read it now, I feel myself back again on the steamer from Aswan to Wadi Halfa. There were quite a number of passengers on board, but the ones in this book travelled in my mind and became increasingly real to me in the setting of a Nile steamer. The book has a lot of characters and a very elaborately worked-out plot. I think the central situation is intriguing and has dramatic possibilities, and the three characters, Simon, Lynette and Jacqueline, seem to me to be real and alive. My friend, Francis L. Sullivan, liked the book so much that he kept urging me to adapt it for the stage, which in the end I did. I think, myself, that the book is one of the best of my foreign travel ones. And if detective stories are escape literature, and why shouldn't they be, the reader can escape to sunny skies and blue water, as well as to crime, in the confines of an armchair. Agatha Christie. Part 1. Characters in order of their appearance. 1.
Lynette Ridgway. That's her, said Mr. Burnaby, the landlord of the Three Crowns. He nudged his companion. The two men stared with round bucolic eyes and slightly open mouths. A big scarlet Rolls-Royce had just stopped in front of the local post office. A girl jumped out, a girl without a hat and wearing a frock that looked, but only looked, simple. A girl with golden hair and straight autocratic features. A girl with a lovely shape, a girl such as was seldom seen in Malton under Woad. With a quick, imperative step, she passed into the post office. That's her, said Mr. Burnaby again, and he went on in a low, awed voice. Millions she's got. Going to spend thousands on the place. Swimming pools there's going to be, and Italian gardens, and a ballroom, and half of the house pulled down and rebuilt.
Well, she'll bring money into the town, said his friend. He was a lean, seedy-looking man. His tone was envious and grudging. Mr. Burnaby agreed.
Yes, it's a great thing for Malton under Woad. A great thing it is.
Mr. Burnaby was complacent about it.
Wake us all up proper, he added.
A bit of difference from Sir George, said the other.
Ah, it was the horses did for him, said Mr. Burnaby indulgently. Never had no luck.
What did he get for the place?
A cool 60,000, so I've heard.
The lean man whistled.
Mr. Burnaby went on triumphantly. And they say she'll have spent another 60,000 before she's finished.
Wicked, said the lean man.
Where'd she get all that money from?
America, so I've heard.
Her mother was the only daughter of one of those millionaire blokes.
It's quite like the picture, isn't it? The girl came out of the post office and climbed into the car. As she drove off, the lean man followed her with his eyes. He muttered, It seems all wrong to me, her looking like that. Money and looks. It's too much. If a girl's as rich as that, she's no right to be a good looker as well.
And she is a good looker. Got everything that girl has. Doesn't seem fair.
Two. Extract from the social column of the Daily Blag. Among those supping at Chez Matante, I noticed beautiful Lynette Ridgway. She was with the Honourable Joanna Southwood, Lord Windlesham, and Mr. Toby Bryce. Miss Ridgway, as everyone knows, is the daughter of Mellish Ridgway, who married Anna Hartz. She inherits from her grandfather, Leopold Hartz, an immense fortune. The lovely Lynette is the sensation of the moment, and it is rumoured that an engagement may be announced shortly. Certainly, Lord Windlesham's...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?